There's a passage in Revelation that says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I believe that one of the key elements of our testimony that leads to victory is indeed praising the Lord. It is in offering up praise and thanksgiving. The psalmist said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made." This day that we have that maybe includes and incorporates difficulties of life, uncertainties, mountains that we don't know how we're going to climb, disappointments, the unexpected, this day. It's a day that the Lord made, and the psalmist said, we will be glad, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I feel especially inspired with this message this morning, and I came to church today, and would you know it, that the lesson in Sunday school was about this. Almost don't need to preach the message this morning if you were in Sunday school, Brother Dion gave us. And then almost every song that we sung had to do with praise and being joyful to the Lord. And then the young people got up and sang us a special right along these lines. And so I believe that the Lord is in this message this morning and all that has been offered in our congregation today. So let's take heed. Take it to heart. Have a question. How many downhearted, worrying glasses, half empty, looking over their shoulder on what could be if only people are in heaven this morning? You think anybody is in heaven today that is like that, that's worrying, that's downhearted? I don't think there's one single person in heaven that's thinking, man alive, I just don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I'm kind of worried about it. And if I could only have this or do this, if I could only change this situation, it could be so much better. And then sit at that table we were talking about with doubt and discouragement and not a one. Well, how many people do you think were doubtful and discouraged and just disappointed with life and disillusioned and looking over their shoulder whether, well, what could be just prior to getting to heaven? Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But I'll tell you this, that I don't want to be part of the experiment to find out. I don't want to be one that's going to be a part of a statistical experiment to find out if we can go to heaven and yet live life down and dour and disappointed all the time. A practice of life where we're not joyful in the Lord. There's a verse in Revelation 21 and 8 that says that the fearful and the unbelieving, along with a lot of other bad actors, it spoke of murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and liars. And right in the middle of that, it listed the fearful and the unbelieving. Do you remember that verse? 21st chapter, I think, of Revelation. right in the middle of murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and liars, the fearful and the unbelieving. And it said that those people, that they would have, it said they'd have their place in the lake of fire which burneth. That's what the Scripture says. And folks, this morning, I don't want to be part of the fearful and the unbelieving. I don't want to be part of even a close cousin. Well, I'll call it that. A close cousin which includes being a complainer and a joyless professor. A joyless professor of Christianity. I don't want to be a joyless professor of Christianity. Because do you know what really this is? It's a close cousin or a brother or a sister, or maybe that's just what it is, of the fearful and the unbelieving. Right? Because if we go through life and we profess Christianity and yet there's no joy, there's a pattern of just, we're just living life and there's no fulfillment in our service to the Lord, then oftentimes that means that somehow we're doubting, we're not trusting like we should, maybe we're not believing in the love of God that in the way that we should, and maybe we're grudgingly obedient to the Lord because we just feel like, well, that's how I need to live. I don't want to go to hell, and well, I know it's right. I'll plod along this way. But we're joyless. No joy. The psalmist also said in the 100th chapter, it said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. We talk a lot about, preach a lot, teach a lot. We circles when we talk. We talk about how to serve the Lord. Or not how, but what it means to serve the Lord. And sometimes we spend a lot of time, and we should. We talk about, here's what serving the Lord looks like. We don't live like those that are serving something else, the world and things that are just going to pass away, and the temporal and the things that draw after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And we're drawn so much to those things that we spend a lot of time on that. But this morning, my message and my inspiration is on how we serve. Yes, we're going to serve the Lord, but the question is, how do we serve the Lord? This says, serve the Lord with gladness. Are there any parents here this morning? I know we got quite a few parents here, or that have been. Well, you're always a parent. Once a parent, always a parent. That like to have children that are down and discouraged and questioning and uncertain and not joyful, but joyless and obedient, just because, not because they want to, but because they have to. Any parents here that like to have children like that? Is that your first choice? It's not. I don't think there's one parent here that would say, yeah, that's exactly what I'd like to have in my household. Well, you know what? The Lord doesn't want that kind of children either. The Lord doesn't want to have children sitting around His table that don't serve with gladness, that are joyless. The Lord wants children that serve with gladness, joyful service. And I, not to be mistaken, I'm not at all this morning taking away from the realities of life, the difficult realities of life. I know what they're about. And sometimes we don't feel joyful. And sometimes we do sit at the table with very difficult situations. And they're real. And the Lord will come sit with us if we'll invite Him. To be able to face those things in life that are hard. That's not my message this morning. My message is not that we're going to live on this emotional high and we're just going to always just feel like singing and shouting and being joyful and happy and bubbly and excited. I'm not really what I would call a bubbly person. It's just my personality isn't really that way. And I'm not trying to say that's not my message. But my message is that the Lord wants a people that believe in Him. He wants a people that are happy to serve Him. He wants a people that trust in Him, that believe in His love, and a people that we're able to see on the other side of the crosses that we face, the joy that's on the other side, the presence of the Lord with us when we go through those times that are difficult and uncertain, and the Lord cries with us sometimes, I think, because He's moved with compassion. He's a high priest that is moved with compassion. He doesn't just say, well, just get over it. Just smile and be happy about this thing that's hard. No, I believe the Lord, He looks upon our needs and He's moved with the compassion and He cares about us and He wants to be there for us. But He wants us to believe in Him and say, I know I'm facing this, but I also know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds me in His hand, and it's Jesus, it's God, it's a Lord that is bigger and is above this. And so the Lord is looking for a people that serve with gladness. We spoke the other night, was made mention about different elements of what go into communication. That communication is more than just words. There's a reason why sometimes people say words are cheap. And you can look this up and you may find that depending on who does the analysis and who the researcher is, the percentages may change a little bit. But in general, when you communicate with somebody, around 55% of communication comes from our body language. Your body language. You're telling a story with how your head's hanging, what you're doing with your eyes, what you're doing with your hands, how you approach people. Have you ever had somebody shake your hand as they walk by? 35% approximately has to do with your voice. The tone of your voice. What tone your voice, the pitch of your voice, the volume. You can send messages by just changing how loud you're talking. And the way that you say it with your voice. And just about 10% of communication is the actual words that you say. And I wonder this morning when the Lord looks at our lives and looks at my life. I say a lot of things. Everybody says things with words. But I wonder when the Lord looks at my life and looks at your life, what we're really communicating to Him. What is the tone of our life? What is our body language telling the Lord about how we really feel? I know we say things. That's part of it. The Spirit. We've talked about the Spirit in a couple of services here, not too long behind us. When the Lord looks at our spirit, which we've talked about is kind of it's that center seat, the innermost part, it's the essence of who you are, what you're about, you're as a person, that kind of drives those other things that come out. What are we telling the Lord? We have so much to praise the Lord about. The song that we just heard. The songs that we sang. The Sunday school this morning. We are serving... let me rephrase that. We have been accepted by the one that created the heavens and the earth. We've been invited to be part of the family of God. We've been given a place at the table of the King. And we have been approached individually by the Lord Himself. He knows who you are. He calls your name. He invites you to sit at His feet. He shed His blood that our sins might be forgiven. He went to prepare a place for us that where He is, we could go too. He's offered to be with us in the good times and in the bad times. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God, the great I am. We have so many reasons to serve with gladness. And so I'm challenged by this verse that says, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord desires to have a happy, encouraged people, not a downhearted, fearful, serving because we have to rather than serving because we want to. And I wonder sometimes, and maybe this gets a little close, and so I'll speak personally. I wonder sometimes if that when we get in this place, this place of where it's joyless. And do you remember a long time ago some we had a message on all the D's? I don't even remember all that were up there, but discouraged and despondent maybe and despair and depressed. And those things are very real that we've probably all experienced. They're real, real things. Sometimes I wonder if the answer is to look up. Look up and off of yourself. Focus on the plan of God that is so much bigger than you are as a person. Look up and recognize that the Lord is doing something so much greater than just the things that sometimes we see with our eyes and feel internally. Paul, I think, began to capture some of this. He said in Philippians 2 and maybe 14, and this is really challenging, and I'm just going to acknowledge that I don't feel like I'm there yet, but I'm working on it, trying. Well, may the Lord help me. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. All things. It's hard to do all things without murmuring and disputing when our focus is mainly on ourselves rather than having our focus on something that's bigger than what we are. What ranks do we belong in? Where do we live? What kind of noise are we making? Some history to consider. The walls of Jericho came down after there was trumpet blowing and shouting. That's when the walls came down. King Jehoshaphat's army was outnumbered significantly. But they experienced a great victory when they begin to praise and shout to the Lord. Gideon's army was greatly outnumbered. They only had 300 and then maybe 301. Maybe it was Gideon and 300. I don't remember. They won a great victory when they made a lot of noise and they let their light shine according to the will of God. Do you see a pattern? Here, they experienced victory when they praised the Lord and when trumpet blasts were offered, accompanied by faith in the one that they were trusting in. And so we too are exhorted to serve with gladness, to be a part of the number that... It's like, who do we put in the category of joyfully serving? Would we go in that? Would we go in that bucket? How often do you make joyful blasts with your trumpet? Anybody here make joyful blasts with your trumpet? I wonder what it would be like if... Well, let me say this. I'm not promoting and I'm not saying that the Lord is evaluating the decibel, the level of noise that emits from our mouth, and that the Lord says, well, now I've got the lost and I've got the ones that are kind of borderline and I've got those that are saved, and then I've got those that are really spiritual. And these folks over here, they emit at about 150 decibels. They're pretty loud, and these folks, they get up there to about, you know, the threshold, 85 or so, and then it goes down from there. And so that's how we're going to bucket it. That's not how the Lord determines our spirituality, by how loud, how much noise we make. But how about this? What would it be like if everybody in here at the same time emitted a few blasts from their lung trumpets all at the same time in this building? Wonder what would happen. You think the Lord would hear us? You think if all of us from our innermost being, our spirit, that it was real, we're not just making noise and hollering, but what if the Lord has just blessed us and we've been given ourselves to the Lord and we come into the house of the Lord with the spirit of worship and we offer up a sacrifice of praise. And all of us at the same time, like they did when they were going around the walls of Jericho, all of us shouted with our lungs, high praise to the Lord at the same time in this building. Now that would be something, wouldn't it? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do that right now. But the Lord wants to hear something come from our hearts. He's worthy of it. We have every reason in the world to do that. It's possible to do things. It's possible to serve out of obligation and necessity. And sometimes we can do a fair job of it. Something needs to be done, and so out of obligation, we do it. We see that there's a need over here, and so we serve because it needs to be done. But it's a whole other level when we do it from our hearts and we're not just doing it because we have to. And when we do it with gladness and we do it with joy. And I had a learning incident when I was about five. Do we have any 5-year-olds in here this morning? Close. Maybe four. There's one right there. A 5-year-old. I was about his age. Maybe 6, but I don't think I was above 6. And I guess I was complaining too much. I guess I had a pattern, maybe going through a stage of life. Maybe the stage lasted a while. And I was just complaining too much. And one day, I was complaining about something, and my mom said, "You know," she said, "it would make me so happy, if when I ask you to do something, and you didn't want to do it, that you just said, 'Okay, Mom, let's just do that.'" She said, "That would make me so happy." And I thought about that a little bit. And I thought, that's really strange that somebody would be so happy that I'm happy about doing something I'm unhappy about. That's really something. And it's something that it would be so significant that it would make an adult just happy. And I'm just a boy tagging along. And so I wondered on that a little bit and I thought, you know, I ought to give it a try and just explore this concept a little bit. Not because I want to be happy, but just see what happens. Well, it didn't take very long and I faced again something I was unhappy about. It didn't take very long to get to that place. And we were walking in a grocery store one day and I said, it was just me and my mom, and I said, "I'm going to push the cart. I want to push the shopping cart today." And she said, "No." She said, "I think I'll push the shopping cart today." And my mind's running pretty fast, and I thought, well, now or never. I guess we'll give it a try and see what happens. Not because I wanted to. I wanted to push the cart. But I wanted to see how this was going to work out. So I said, okay, Mom, let's just do that. Let's just, you just push the cart, and that'll be just fine with me. And you should have seen the shock and wonder and happiness. It was something to behold. How happy it made my mom that I was acting happy about something I was unhappy about. And you know what else was significant about that? I found that I went through the store and I was actually happy that she was happy, that I was happy about something I was unhappy about. And that's where the Lord wants us to be. The Lord wants us to trust Him in those things we don't understand. Why can't I push the cart? Why this? Why? What is so bad about me pushing the cart? How was it going to hurt? Why? I didn't understand. I didn't know. And there's a lot of things in life we don't understand. And we don't know. And the Lord waits when we don't want to wait. And the Lord says, come when we don't feel like coming. And the Lord says, turn right when we want to turn left. Sometimes it feels like our prayers aren't answered. Sometimes we are faced with mountains that we don't know how we're going to climb. And the Lord says, just trust me. Just obey with gladness. Just know that I love you. I know what's best. There's an end to this story that you don't understand and that you don't see. And that's where the Lord wants us to get. He's anticipating where we can get to that place where we choose to serve Him and we make a choice. We choose, whether we feel like it or not, to practice joyful service. And I think that when we do that, we start to discover that it actually changes the way we feel. When we step into those waters, there is a place for us to serve this morning, folks, that is bigger than we are. And the Lord is calling us to that. And He wants us to recognize that there is a greater plan of God that we have a little part of, that sometimes there's a cross associated, a personal cross. But if we can get to the point where we are not just fixated on the sacrifice and the self-denial and the unpleasantness of the situation, and we can trust that on the other side of the cross is joy, and that there's a plan of God that's unfolding, and that He has chosen us to have a part of that plan where we can be joint heirs with Jesus, then there's a different level, a different experience that we can have in our Christian life. There's a song that says there's joy in the service of the Master, but there's a catch. If we just give in the Lord our leftovers, if we're just doing it out of obligation, if we're just passing by the Lord, if we just stand with Him for a little while, but then we go back to our own needs and we're just more concerned about that as opposed to sitting with Jesus and trusting and obeying, we're going to miss out if we don't do that. And I think about Naaman. The end of the story with Naaman ended well, but he almost missed out. He almost missed out of a life-changing experience because he looked at it and he said, it doesn't make any sense. I don't want to dip into something that's muddy. Why should I have to dip in the Jordan? I got to do other things that has a way better, cleaner waters than that. And it made him upset that he was asked to do this by a man of God. And we are asked to live lives that sometimes are not pleasant. And we can say, why can't I do this over here? It'd be so much better. And if we're not careful, we can get bitter. And if we're not very careful, we can walk away from being joyful in serving the Lord as He directs our steps. And if we're not careful, we can miss out on what the Lord wants to do for us in life. Sometimes, in closing, we can mistakenly equivocate peace with the absence of trouble. And so when we get into trouble and we get into hard places, the first thing we try to do is get out of it. Don't we? Often. Because we think that that's where joy is. But what if we could find the place that even in the midst of the storm, we can trust, we can serve with joy and gladness, and believe in the Lord? If we could get to that place, what could touch us? What could touch us then? And I believe that if we can get to that place, that we begin to tap into where Paul said that there is a peace that passeth all understanding. I'm challenged by this today. Verse 5 says, "The Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth all generations." And this morning I desire to be in the number of people that the Lord looks upon, where I joyfully serve and trust in this life, that I might reign with Him eternally. He has given us so many reasons to joyfully serve. Maybe this morning we could stand and sing a song of praise. Amen.